Good morning.
Grand Rising King.
Good morning. Yes, and welcome to the One Gone Words of Wisdom show. I'm your host, Marvell Wilson, accompanied by one of our most astute and regular participants, Mr. Mark Stevens. This morning, we're going to start by broaching the subject of these mass shootings going on, and can it be interpreted that because of the regularity of these type of events, are we looking at what is described as the last times and the last days? Or are we looking at the insanity that may precede those last days? Are we getting a real clear message that life is not valuable enough to preserve, and the way we're living is something that needs to be dissolved? There's a whole bunch of interpretations that we can have, because it's the nonsense of a person taking the life of other people randomly. It's so far-fetched that it's difficult to wrap your head around. Yet, it's occurring on a regular basis. 600 shootings so far this year. They don't report every mass shooting because they think that a mass shooting is only like maybe if three or four people don't get killed, they don't call it a mass shooting. So we've had what a mass shooting to me is when one person kills one or more people. And we've had that here in Sacramento that only stayed local in the newscast. So we have people killing people, a lot of times randomly. For what reason is difficult to conclude. Yet, there's something to be gathered from this mindset, this insanity. So we're opening up the lines, 515-605-9861, for versions of what your ideas are about where we are as a humanity and what these signs represent.
Peace and blessings, everyone. Brother Tim here, DJ One Gone, and this is very dear to me. As a gunshot victim, I wonder how everyone else feels about these mass shootings that are taking place on the colleges, at the supermarket, at funerals, at wherever, at the park. It's just baffles me how in America we can have so much going on with gun violence, but yet we don't talk about that. And so the reason we are speaking of it is because one of our young folks in one of our sessions mentioned that, yeah, he's going to get a strap so everybody can respect him. And he was 12 years old. And he said, and if he catch a body, they know not to mess with him. And so a 12-year-old, saying this in a group setting without a flinch, without a wince, without any feeling towards anybody that heard that. And so that is alarming to me. That is alarming to me. And he's not the only 12-year-old that thinks like that, right? And so I have to think, what is the house like? What is the household like? What is the parenting light for a young man to challenge? He was challenging other people too. And so we're going to get into that, because Brother Marvell knows that this young man also looked at a white person that was in this boys group and said, I can beat him. And so we were wondering, what are you talking about? Yeah, I can beat him up. And So he asked him, what makes you think you can beat him up? Because the color of his skin. And that right there is alarming. It is alarming. So that is why we're talking about these mass shootings. We had 627 mass shootings in America this year. More than we had more mass shootings than we had days on the calendar. With that being said, good morning, everyone. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. The number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Good morning.
The subject matter that was...
I think it's tragic that we have these young kids feeling this way. I could think back to when I was a child, growing up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I kind of felt the same way that that young child felt due to the circumstances that there was a lot of racism going on when I was growing up. We were raised to hate white. And the white kids were raised to hate us. And it was something I couldn't understand because some of my best friends were white. But I was taught to hate them. I was forced to fight them. And it was one of the hardest things to do. And that comes from a lack of love, a lack of love for one another, a lack of love for your own child if you're raising your child like this. Because we cannot pour into this child the hatred that we went through, because this life is not like ours. It's a difference there, and we as adults, we have to set the pace for what goes on in our house and raise our kids to be prepared for what's going to go on outside the house. Now, this young man talking about getting a gun to take a life that he may not even know that person, but just to take a life just so he could have a body count. You know, that's the weirdest thing I ever heard of. These kids are watching. These rappers are putting it out there. And their bodies are bodies that are in their neighborhood. People that they grew up with are relatives that they don't even know that they're relatives. But these are what they're going for. This is what's attracting these kids. And I hold the system to blame for those that are in control of the airways. What we see on TV, what we listen to. See, we couldn't see stuff like that on TV when we was a kid or hear it on the radio. If I played a vulgar tape with cussing on it, a track tape with cussing on it back in the day, the police would come up and stop me, tell me I couldn't play that. But now it's on the radio. They bleep out some of the words, but we know what they're bleeping out. You know, these kids are not dumb. So, I mean, we have to take action against the powers that be, if we want to see change. I digress.
Thank you, Brother Mark. And so in the cube and on the line, we have Brother Joe. Brother Joe, we're talking about over 600 mass shootings in America. What the dog bite is going on? Brother Joe.
I sort of think, and again, Godspeed to everyone that's on the line and listening. Again, what Mark just got through saying is that our home front is our first line of defense when it comes to any of this type of stuff, because the influence from social media, which was spoken about last night at the meeting, the influence of social media has basically ruined families across this country and in our community, devastated. So it's at home. It's got to start at home. It cannot start anywhere else but at the home front first. I say.
So today I had a little technical difficulty, and I wanted to play this so everybody could understand that we are winners. We're winners right here on the Wise Words.
Thank you.
Right on. What that speaks to is the resilience of a people that no matter what the challenge is, the ability to overcome has been well proven throughout the history of our presence, not only here, but where we came from. We do well despite the challenges. So what a well-placed piece to introduce what we're talking about now is that we're at the throes of what appears to be devastation to the world and the wars that are going on in other countries and terrorism and murder that's going on in this one. And the question still is, well, what are we interpreting from this? And what's fair to think these messages are? Are we really on the brink of what is professed to be the end of times? Or is it the beginning of a new enlightenment of how we should live collectively together and do a campaign to rid ourselves of guns and the devastation that they cause? That seems to be the question.
Yes. And
I'll open.
Yes, I agree that that would be a very worthwhile step to take. It does, again, as I've said many, many times, and so have others, that it the leadership that it takes to take that one step is what we as scribes, and as you were talking, Marvell, I was just thinking that many of the cultures, including ours, coming from Africa and various other parts of the world, when it came time to have a village decision made, there were scribes. Scribes, as you know, are historians, are the secretaries. And that's what we are at the Healing Circle and various other organizations. We are the scribes. Now let's take our message and let's go to our people. Many times, and I've said this before too, and I said this the other day, the individuals that we trusted here in this late century cannot be trusted now because it has been shown that they have no goodwill toward our community. We need to make a change, and that's all the way around the horn, but it starts at home first, and I'll stop at this moment.
When I hear the start at home, though, it doesn't stand clear to me because what's at home a lot of times is the origin or the perpetuation of the behavior that's being demonstrated outside of the home. Let me get the example that Tim offered was that we were in class with our group, our youth group. And it started with the question of entitlement and what that meant. What is entitlement? Because we always pose question words and give opportunity for a definition of the word and then association of the word to the behaviors that are common in our communities. And so when we talked about entitlement, we also talked about once we defined it, we talked about, has anyone felt they were entitled to something that they hadn't earned, worked for, or just thought that they should get it just because they are them? And this youth said, yeah. And when I probed about it to ask why he felt that way, he kept saying, because he's superior. He feels superior. And I kept asking him why. And then he started saying, because if I could beat somebody, that makes me superior over them. And then it went from there into his ideology about respect and fear, and they were one and the same to him. If he has a gun, he's going to garner the respect in his mind through the fear of him having a gun that somebody else knows he had. When we look at from our community out, that what's internal with us about the gun and about power and about fear and about respect, it's like it's just generally seem to be in the atmosphere, and in the households that teach otherwise are rare. So to me, it may start at the home, but that the penetration of the information to the home is probably going to be an outside-in job. What we're doing now is we're stirring up the household to relook at what's going on in their households and what adjustments that we suggest that they make in order for it to be an inside-out job. So that's my only response to, yeah, I know that it should start at the home, yet if the home is not equipped, then where does that equipment come from? That's my
okay,
question.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me respond, and I'll stop. None of our homes were equipped, and if we go back in our history, none of our homes were equipped. History will tell us and shows us that you, me, Brother Tim, Brother Mark, and various other men were taken out the home. You know our history, or men should know our history, was that it was a complete family unit. So, you know, yes, I keep harping on the fact that it starts at home, but unless we buy land, build a dormitory type concept, then the home is where it is. It's where it starts. And if we go back in our history, which is not that far back, none of our homes were equipped. And yet here you, me, and others stand through determination. But we saw that from our elders. We heard that from our elders. Our elders were there. The scribes were there to teach the village what direction it might want to go. So I'll stand on the fact that, you know, the lessons of life itself have to start at home. They've got to, because once that individual hits the streets, so to speak, it's a wide open game at that point. And if the individual is not what we all call grounded, that's in the basics, that's a leaf blowing in the wind. And I'll stop at this moment.
I have to agree with what Brother Joe just said. When you say that you don't feel that it starts at home, where else would it start from? If we're not trying to teach our children what they need to know before they walk out that door at any given age, they will never know, because we're reluctant to have men like us being visible to teach a child something. For every crime that's been committed, there has been someone that's seen that person before he committed that crime. They had the opportunity to reach out to that person before they committed that crime, but they did not do so for out of fear themselves, are a lack of caring. That's why I keep resorting back to that word love. We got to give love. We got to show love. We got to teach love. If we love on these kids every time we see one of them, they're going to be less apt to go out there and do something stupid, because that love does something to a person. You could be mad as hell, but if a pretty woman say, I love you, man, you're going to change all that. Same way with a kid. We got to show them love. We got to give them love. Just because they didn't get it at home don't mean that they should go through life without it. So it's up to us that have love, and I'm willing to give it. We got to do it. I digress.
I don't know. I'm sort of missing. I'm missing something in the translation, because I understand. And I'll give you a distinction. When the neighborhood that I grew up in, I was lucky. It was two parent families, a black neighborhood, businesses owned by black people, two parent families, homeowners. Yet we still had our waywardness, and we still had our temptations to be like some of the pimps and some of the players and some of the folks in the underworld who seem to be having their way. We still had that, but we had some people who walked through that because in their home there was a solid, principled grooming process that had been instilled in them so that they can walk in and through all these other temptations with strength. And I sort of admired them, but then at the same time, it wasn't exciting. They didn't seem to be in the excitement realm to stimulate me to want to be in their house. I used to want to be in a house where all of the noise and the chaos was at and the energy was at. It just seemed like there was a peace and there was a calm and there was a sort of like a placid comfort that they had when they walked through our experience. So I saw the distinction between the two, and as a result, I got buddies I went to school with that are doctors, they're attorneys, they are physicists, I've seen them because their grooming from the home gave them the ability to walk through and past the temptations of the energy that might have been in the neighborhood. What I'm saying is that at this time, When the kids come from their home base, if that's not there, that kind of consciousness and grooming is not there, then when they come out, it is really like ours. Like you said, the elders. Somebody said about the elders. Somebody said about the scribes. They're not in the home. They're here where we are. We are they. So we are the ones responsible to implant what's lacking in the home in order for it to be practiced from the home. That's my interpretation.
And that's not a wrong interpretation. My consistent statement is knowing that it took us 10 years, and I'm just using that number as a talking point. It took us 10 years to recognize that we are the scribes. At this point in time in this history of this country, it is you, me, and men like us right now. So given that that's a fact, then let's take that fact, because, again, it doesn't seem like because of technology. Yeah, you can Zoom, and you can FaceTime, and you can do all the types of communication aspects that the country, quote-unquote, or the system has. But when you look a man in his eye, straight in his eye, and talk to him straight, youngster included, that's a different feeling. That's a different set of concepts, and there's a response to that. I don't know what else to say, and I'll stop, but let's take what we've got to get what we need.
Right on.
I'll stop here.
So we're still at an outside in. To me, we're still an outside in, and that's why we propose. And let me give an update. We had our meeting, our general meeting, where the men come together and we share the what components or what energy can bring healing to our body as a group of men. And then, and after that meeting, there was some select members who may have the time and have the expertise to participate in our Men Accountable Project. So the report is, I thought I had my hard copy to hand out, but instead I emailed the copies of the profile for the Men Accountable Project. So that's the report I want to make. Also, I want to share that we had a very versed and renowned representative of how finance works and how lifestyle of what they could, that he said this. He said, financial literacy is not just a practice, it's a lifestyle. And so his name is Saxter Otterberry. He's regularly on 97.5 and very knowledgeable and very wise about not only issues of finance, but how finance will benefit us, distinguishing the difference between having money and having capital. Because money is something that we use to maintain our overhead. Capital is something that we have, aside from that, that's supposed to generate more in order for us to thrive. So I'm still thinking that this outside-in penetration is what the focus is. And I'm still thinking that if we continue to do what we're doing, forming these committees and doing workshops, I think that's going to be really, really a very not only exciting but very capable way to get our youth and their parents hands-on, because we have youth and their parents that come to our meeting, Healing Circle. We have the parents come too sometimes. So we can get them in the fold collectively, and then the seeds can be planted and watered a little better. Because I'm kind of figuring that even though we want it to be from the household right now is kind of caught up in allowing electronics to groom the kids and allowing electronics to continue to keep the kids engaged, and the grooming process is losing as a result of that. So I'm still kind of feeling that we're on the brink of the turn from the outside in. But that's just kind of like how I'm thinking about it. I want to think differently, but I don't think the home right now is structured to deliver the grooming to send the kids out from. They're sort of in the throes and in the perpetuation of what's going on both inside the house and outside the house. Because that kid that started talking about getting the gun, he said it so casually, it's almost like if I said, well, what your mama going to think about it? He'd probably say, she don't say nothing. I didn't ask him, but it was fair to think that that might have been his response. Oh, my, she ain't going to say nothing. So I still contend that we have the energy and we have the knowledge and the wisdom to penetrate what's not happening in the home, and we can attract them out of the home to come to us for our workshops, for our leadership, so that they can have a model to draw from. That's my position.
Now, you just said something which got me to trigger something. The young man made the statement clearly in the classroom. And your first question to him, which would have been all of ours, is, what would your mama say? And then he gave some sort of response. But look at what question we asked. What would mom say? I, the reason it triggered something in me is the first thing I said, well, where's your father? Again, with our culture, we were taught in our home country, Africa, that the family unit was headed by the man. When we got here, slavery, and in the 50s, because again, I'm a first and 15th child. If you don't know, don't remember, welfare started. You got paid first and 15th of every month, twice a month, but that was the, and no man could be anywhere near the children or the house during the time that the government was sending that check. And so our households were disrupted, but they had been disrupted in slavery. because the white man knew, and so did anybody else. If this unit is allowed to prosper and move forward, we're going to have trouble. What are we talking about today is how do we reach these young people, such as the young person that spoke in the classroom. We have a history of reaching. Let's go get him. That's that plain and simple. It's plain and simple. It may sound dangerous because of times and, oh, I'm afraid. But if right is what you're about and the respect that you do show in the streets, no. All that speculation about being harmed is that just that. But it just has to be approached. It has to be done. We can sit up and talk about it for the next 10 years. What steps do we take to get there? Thank you.
The mass shooting situation, I'm correlating what mindset occurs, because most of the mass shootings that are occurring are Caucasian males. And the type of guns that they use, that MR-15, one of the most devastating weapons one could have is usually the weapon used to take lives en masse. Correlate where this ideology may be groomed for our people is, and this might sound controversial, games that they have where these high power weapons are used to simulate causing death. And they're playing these games where once the fake gun or whatever it is, the pictorial gun is fired, it draws blood, right? And it just makes sense to me that if we have a young man who is so convinced that getting a body, because he said this, and it was astonishing to me. I was astounded when he said what he said. If I got a body, nobody in school would mess with me. That's what he said. If I had a body. So this ideology about taking life, and then not only taking life, but he thinks that he could take a life, everybody know it, and it would be no consequence except that the benefit of him being respected. No legality, no court, no charges, no nothing. That didn't even seem to cross his mind. All he was thinking was, when I take this body, then I'm going to get the respect from everybody in the school. And I'm thinking that just like with the Roadrunner, when the Roadrunner does whatever he does, the coyote falls and gets his head cracked with an anvil and all that, then he gets back up and chases the Roadrunner again. So these games sort of simulate that infallibility of someone. You take someone's life, and then they come back to life, and you shoot them again, and all of that. So I'm correlating gunplay that's being practiced with the so-called recreation with the ideology of gunplay being acted out in real life. It might be controversial to a lot, but to me, I just believe that whatever you practice becomes easier for you to do. That's my position on the correlation between what happens broadly with mass shootings and what happens to groom people in our communities to be casual and comfortable by gunplay altogether.
During my experience with law enforcement in San Francisco, even at the juvenile level, one of the inside programs that was available and I did attend at least once was taking individuals who thought such as that young man, but who were incarcerated for attempt to the morgue. Plain and simple. Program that obviously with COVID it stopped, but it was effective because that young man sounds like he's talking from a computer game and not real life. While you were talking about his description and his concept, if he is under the assumption that that gun is going to save him, and he's not going to get wounded or hurt or killed. That's the lesson that needs to, those are the thoughts that need to be put in his head. And again, where else would that be if it were not for a program geared that way or at home and from a man? Because a woman cannot teach a young man how to be one of us. She can teach him what she would like to see in her son. But to be one, this is a very difficult job. And it takes one of us who has experienced manhood, who has experienced maturity to teach it. And I'll stop.
Still sounds outside in. It's a task that we're unwilling to undertake. It's just, I think that we'll do well to attract as many who have these qualities to start committing, to start communicating with the understanding that this is going to be our responsibility. So that's why I consistently appeal to those who are retired or those who have the wherewithal, who business owners who have the time. Please pour in to whatever it is that you have to share with building a foundation of men and women so that we can share this information and make it common. Make it so that you used the term a couple of weeks ago, Joe, you said the verbiage, to be on point with our verbiage. And so when there's a common principle being driven through a community, that will take hold. When everybody has concluded that we should say this when a circumstance happens, we should say, we should be repetitive and consistent with the principle of something, and we say it the same way. Like we had a movement and we had worked with churches and we stood on this main thoroughfare, main artery, and it all said, stop the violence, stop the violence. And then as people rolled by, they blew their horn because consistent message, stop the violence, stop the violence. So if we start gathering ourselves and coming up with these adages to put out in our communities and be repetitive and be relentless about it and be one about it. Our unity will show when everybody is saying the same thing. So that's why I really think that forming these committees and these workshops so we can get the verbiage, we can get the principle that we want to share with our community and get it broad spread by everybody agreeing that this is going to be our adage. When this happens, this is what we say. Because you have to recognize that, well, I'm going to say you have to. It's just recommendable that we recognize that marketing has a great percentage of effect on how our young people think. And even us. Even as us seasoned veterans, right, we still are susceptible to a well-marketed package. We might not see it might cost so much that it's like, yeah, I like it, but I ain't spending that for it. But the young people, they're a little more susceptible to a well-marketed package. So if that's the case, then let's market our message to them. That's my insertion to the how. That's how I see we can impact what's going on from the outside in.
Totally agree with you. Like I say, it's a lack of verbiage. It's a lack of talking to, period. It's a lack of visibility. And like I say, they have to know the consequences. See, so many of them understand the actions, but they don't fully understand the consequences. They don't understand the fact that your mama might as well break her plate because you're not going to be eating at that table no more. You're going to be behind bars. It's like when I was growing up, most folks say, same thing make you laugh or make you cry. And it's true because you have to understand, like I would tell my kids, my sons, they were fighters, and I had one that loved to fight. I had to let him know, I said, son, that guy that you want to hit might not feel like being hit today. He might be waiting for somebody to, he might have that I wish a motherfucker would attitude, you know. So these are things these kids got to understand. I mean, it's so much that they have to understand, and there's so much that we have to be available to teach them. So making, getting these committees together, getting people to come into these committees and be a part of it is one of the most important things right now that we can do, because it's getting the word out there. It's letting them know that we care. See, a lot of these single mothers feel that they don't have no help. They in it alone. And they've been taught to feel that way. So we have to let them know that there is help. You know, whoopings don't always help, but a stern talking to. And you have to take that kid out of his environment, away from all distractions, to get the message across to him. Get him in a environment where he can't run. He can't turn on a phone. He could have a phone, but it won't work. See, these are the things you have to do in order to get the message across. I digress.
This is a community type, singularly, Mario, myself, Brother Mark, you just spoke, and others, Brother Tim, can actually do some things because these folks are, quote, visible, out there speaking, talking, introducing themselves, and doing the types of things. But it takes a system. And so I, too, implore other men who may be listening to come join us. Come join us, and let's see if we can right this ship. I'll stop.
Well put. I appreciate that endorsement, and that's sort of, well, I'm not going to say sort of. That is a theme that I put forth. There are some brothers and some sisters who have the time. They're seasoned, they're wise, and capable of pouring in to these solutions that we're proposing. And so we're still advocating for your participation. Call in 515-605-9861. Be a listener until you're willing to share. Because what we're doing is very unique. This is a very unique, I've been around radio. I remember I came from Cleveland, Ohio, where Cleveland used to be sort of like a hub for entertainers. If you didn't play Cleveland back in the day, you probably wasn't going to get well recognized, because Cleveland was one of those go-through places, and they had two of the nation's black radio stations, JMO, WJMO, WABQ, well known. And so where I came from and what I've observed about what it is that we can use to market comes from that background. It comes from the knowledge of who we are as a people, what we can do as a people, and how we can penetrate households through the radio, through music, through other means. But right now we're sort of struggling with messaging, with music, and we're sort of struggling with messaging through the marketing system, because we don't market to each other. We are marketed to on a consistent basis. So I'm still optimistic that if we continue to do what we're doing, we're going to attract those who have the time and the wherewithal and ignite the spirit of those people to pour in, so that we can get this outside in job mastered. Because I think it's a mastery necessary for us to practice. Just like them kids practice, them kids, they'll sit there at that game and they'll be proficient at that game. And they'll be so riveted and so intent about being masterful in that game that they become masterful with these games. And unfortunately, a lot of them are, they depict destruction of something or the wounding or the killing of someone else. I hear it all the time. One of the youth that lives in the household that I live in, all I hear all day is him talking on the computer. Oh, you got me. You killed me. Oh, yeah. He's not my son, so I can only have but so much input or influence over his addiction to that. So we can use that as a model to show if we become as deliberate about our messaging and proficient and expert about our messaging as these kids are about their electronics, then we can compete. So that's my perspective.
It boils down to a starting point. And as we've been saying, it needs a starting point, and that's what we have been doing.
Say that we proceed. Every day that we proceed and we discuss these issues, because one seems to trickle into the other. We started with our theme, which was, is mass shooting a sign? And because we are a resilient people, even if this is a sign that there's something wrong, we're going to find a way to make it right, because we continue to survive and even thrive under most extreme circumstances. So I don't, because when I hear about last days and that type of stuff, I'm thinking, wow, I don't know what to do with that information. If it's true, optimistic that things can change? And the answer to me is yes. Okay, so this might be the last days for what we've been experiencing, but it might be the first days for what we want to experience if we take the helm and use whatever presents itself as an opportunity for us to pour in the energy to make it so. So that's why I continue to appeal to those who have the time and the wherewithal to recognize that you have something to import into this quest that we're on. You have something. You have something. I hope you can push through to let it be known, because you will be recognized and well received when you decide that you want to. Listening is important, and we're going to keep on putting this information out. We're going to keep on giving our positions on it. We're going to keep on forming committees. We're going to keep on keeping our eyes to the hills. And we want you guys to understand that you have something to offer to that objective. So listen until you're ready to speak, or listen until you're ready to help perform. Listening starts, because you have to be convinced that, one, number one, that we are sincere. You have to be convinced, because trust is a commodity that's a rare for us to share and to get involved with somebody. Trust. So listen until you trust us. And then come on in and help us, because we can get this done. We can get this done. We are resilient enough to get this done. And once we do it, and I want you to observe this, once we demonstrate the excellence that we're capable of in whatever genre, whatever aspect of life that meets the challenge that we meet in that area, that it becomes a staple. Like, you know, who they rapping on commercials now. I mean, white people, they rapping on commercials to sell a product because they see that it works. And who created that? I don't need to answer the question. You know who created it. You got, I mean, even you got white people sagging. And none of that makes sense to me. But because it seems to be a purveying practice, it just seems like something that folks need to do. All folks, I've even seen Asians practicing that. Where did that come from? So I'm saying that to say that once we put our seal and brand something, it becomes pop across the bounty. So let's put a model down, and like Tim say, a demo down of something that uplifts and demonstrates our capability in some very vital, important areas to help ourselves and to help the world see that we are awakened now. Like Donald Glover say, awaken and stay woke. And once we demonstrate that we have awakened and we plan to stay woke, it'll be attractive, and it'll be easier for us to continue to do it without the opposition that we've been experiencing in the past, because we'll be one-minded about it. Because this is not just for black folks or our culture in this country. This is for this country, because we are, and I'm going to say this, and it may seem controversial, but we are really the truest patriots in this country, the real patriots. We have fought in battles. We've demonstrated the type of demonstrations that we've put forth to help this country win wars, to help this country stay solvent, to help this country, all of the inventions that we have to make this country what it is. That's who we are. So when we start recognizing that and embodying that and walk and carrying ourselves like that, it doesn't just help us, our people, it helps this country. So that's my position on that.
I grew up also with a two-station area, which was obviously San Francisco. KDIA and KSOL, those are the two radio stations that were black owned and operated in the Bay Area. One was strictly entertainment and the other was entertainment and educational. So other people come from areas that are no outlets, one outlet. And what you said a moment ago about the outlet. From my understanding, this is the first time in this area that something of this nature, a program of this magnitude, has been developed and is out there, the very first time. So it's going to take a moment, because everyone up here in this area, and I mean up here meaning in the Sacramento area, is so used to country music, classical music, middle of the road music, and so to hear something over the airwaves such as this type of a program, it's a godsend, because there are people who are beginning to gravitate toward this type of programming, but this is the first one. So in the being the first one, there are growing pains, and that's what this program is going through, is growing pains. It will evolve, but it will take a few moments to do that. I commend the individuals to in this area for putting this on the airwaves, because it's needed. It's needed. Hopefully this kind of concept will be able to where people can actually, as they can now, but in a mass concept, call in and give their opinions from outside, as the few folks who have been on the podcast with us I have done. But it's just going to take a moment. But continuing on, that's a given. It's, stopping, and for what reason? We've been given enough reasons to keep going, and I'm all for keep going. But I'll stop.
I appreciate that, Joe, because what it is really defining how concepts grow to be finished products, right? The consistency, the deliberacy, the want and the passion to reach the goal kind of overshadows the challenges and the little glitches that we might experience on the way. Like, we've experienced a whole bunch of stuff. Like, because Tim said he called in to try to find out why they're trying to charge people with Metro when it has never been like that before. All of a sudden now, you know, the viewership, I mean, I keep saying viewership, I guess we headed for viewership. Our listening base is now, if they're a Metro carried by Metro, they're going to have to make a decision. And the decision is based upon someone throwing something out there and saying making it lucrative for them or difficult for us. And it could be a combination of the two, and they don't care which one it is. So these are the type of, when you say growing pains, that's a very, very well-stated, well-placed experience for us to anticipate and for others to anticipate too. When they put forth something, there's going to be some experience of discomfort going forth. Well, however, if the vision is clear, then you can shake off them little pains, because the vision is greater than the pain. What you saying that, Joe? It warmed me up to hear that. Put it in words, simple words, growing pain. That's what we're experiencing, and that's what we've been experiencing throughout, growing pain. It's just that when we got to a certain level as a people, we got comfortable, because we didn't want to feel the pain, it's obvious to me. We didn't want to risk pain anymore. But now we're at the pain risk level, where we have to risk discomfort in order to reach the goal. That's what we're doing now, is we're planting the seed and painting a picture of what a midterm or long-term vision looks like for us to work together to achieve. And again, I say, it's not just for us. It's for this country. The country will be better off without the division that exists, the race, people to people, culture to culture, and financial status to financial status. Scott Salisbury told us last night, there are 185 billionaires in California alone. 185 billionaires in California alone. And so I'm associating that with how the financial wherewithal, once we get ourselves founded, the financial wherewithal will set in, will set the law of attraction where any billionaire worth his salt will see that we'll become a sound investment. Because we've founded ourselves and grounded ourselves to produce rather than consume. So we're on the brink of it. We're on the brink of, and we're on the turn for something major, you know. And I'm going to continue to be a part of that progression until I leave here, because we deserve to be there.
Nothing wrong with your position. Nothing wrong with your statement. Again, I think that what gets in our way is technology, due to the fact that, again, even with the podcast as in the concept of growing pains, the beginning is always tough because everything is uncertain until there is a laid down track for the train to actually travel. So the train just pulled from the station, and that's us. And so, we are finding out that we need more water, more coal, and more fuel. And that's any program or any concept or what have you. The start is always difficult because it doesn't seem like there is, quote, a vision, but there is. It doesn't seem like there's enough crew members, but there will be. So let us continue on. Let us continue
yes, sir.
On.
Yes,
it,
sir.
It, is, ex-
yes,
it
sir.
Is expected for us to quit. It is expected for us to quit because that's what society has been taught. If you put a difficulty in a man's way so consistent, then he'll either give up or commit suicide or do something, but he will stop. No. That time has come and gone. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well put. That these obstacles have been in the past enough to get somebody to fold their hands.
True.
A good bluff.
True.
A good bluff will get you to fold your hand, right?
True.
And we're not folding. And we'll demonstrate that. We're going to demonstrate that we're not going to fold. So therefore, we're going to attract what we need to continue to go forth. And that's the premise. And I'm glad you see you're touching on the kind of detail that I think make it easier for us to convey our message, because we've looked at not just the adage or the statement of what's needed, but we're looking at what it's going to take to generate what's needed and what challenges we're likely to have given that we've had past experiences or given that we've had in our case, a heritage of things that come to thwart us from being able to go forth. We had somebody tell somebody else, don't teach them how to read. Are you kidding? You teach them how to read, and you're teaching them how to be independent. You teach them how to read, You teach them how to critically think. You teach them how to read. You teach them how to compete on the level that it wouldn't be strategic to have them operating on, because if we can't control them, if they can see themselves equal.
Yeah.
So that's these are the type of challenges that we've undergone and overcome throughout. So I just constantly emphasize how important it is to just sit back and do an analysis of what it is that we have that is irrefutable, what it is that we have, and then associate that with what you have personally that's a semblance of or maybe as great as anything that you can recall has happened for us, through us, by us, as a resilient and energetic and creative and persevering people. And just relax in that. So, yeah, you know. And then I'm thinking that the capability to do will come from that, without any fear or any apprehension about getting whatever it is you want to get done, done. It's just that the collectivism that's lacking might be a barrier for us. So now we're working toward that collectivism. We're working toward one-mindedness.
Yeah.
One-mindedness on some issues. Not on everything, but on some major issues. Because, again, I say, Joe, that when I observe a minority party in our government create so much havoc and plant so many seeds of doubt or plant so many seeds of dissension and keeps things in a disarray because they have one message, then that minority that they all agree upon and everybody carries it. Everybody carries that message, and it has impact. It's almost like we talked about propaganda earlier this week, talking about the power of propaganda. Propaganda, you know, it only starts with a few personalities, right? And those few personalities just persist, and just be repetitive about what they have to share until it starts getting traction. And then once other people start saying it or embodying it or believing it, then that's when it has power. So let's reverse the propaganda process and put the spirit of righteousness into the fold. We can do this. That's what I say. We can do this.
I'm a little bit more strong-minded than that. I say we will do it. Even though the ranks are few at the moment, the ranks will swell. Again, for me, it's just the approach. Among those, you understand, that can actually hear a message, have a message, and take a message. Hear a message. Those that actually want to know more. That's by hearing. Just as what the meeting was last night. We heard some things last night. Do it. That's the next step. That's the most productive step, is by doing. It can be done. And I'm all for it to get done. Are there other men who wish to get this type of information and job done? Thank you.
Good question. A very good question. Are there other men? Are there other men? Or, I mean, this is not just strictly a man thing. It could be women and young people, because we have some young people who are forthright in carrying their message. We have one kid that's on the podcast, and he is very efficient. Very efficient in carrying a message about drug usage, for instance. So it's not, you know, we prefer to operate with the leadership and the type of approach that we might find in our menfolk. However, we're not going to discredit the power of anybody who has the spirit to bring remedy to what's happening in our communities with our people and our culture. So, you know, men, it's not even men. I don't think you're saying men first, but I'm saying that the men would be, the appeal to men should be easier. We should be able to attract men far easier. And that's how I see it.
Well, the reason I use that concept consistently is because this matriarchal society is, sure, it is sprinkled, quote unquote, with women, yes, and there's no disrespect at all with women positions of power and influence. But again, this is a man's world. So you have to be able to show, teach, talk in terms of what is common. Again, there's no disrespect. And in the last 15 years, women have become more prominent both in the workplace and in the professional concept. But prior to that, it was a man's concept. It was a man's world. So what men have been taught is how, quote unquote, what society thinks that a man should be. We, on the other hand, black men, Asian men, and Hispanic men have a different concept because our backgrounds are from much different places. But the one thing that was consistent in our cultures, historical cultures, is that family was first and the man was the head of the household. Doesn't mean that the wife didn't have equal standing or footing, equal right to speak up and whatnot, but the man was the head of the household. And obviously, this culture has gotten away from that. We all know that. It's gotten way away from that. And that has caused a lot of confusion. Because who's who? Who? If I'm a kid in the culture, and I'm looking for something that is strong enough to sway my thought, then who do I go to? If I can't find an honest, and I used that word a month ago, if I can't be honest, then I'm not honesty is one of the pillars in any society, and we need to get back to that. That's all. And I'll stop. Oh, no.
I totally agree. We just have to get out there and do what we do, just like we've been doing, and keep doing it. Others will come on board as they see fit. But the thing is, we just can't give up. Because if we give up, we've lost all the way around. So we have to continue to do what we're doing, how we're doing it, and progress will come as we continue to march forward.
Well, take our counterparts in the Hispanic culture and the Asian culture right here in Sacramento. They depend on themselves. Sure, correspond and do commerce with other cultures, but they primarily build from within. That's all we need to do, is start building our own from within. And it starts, again, at home base, whether the home base is in trouble or not. It has to start there. It has to. mentioned women. What I guess I find hard to look this fathomed in my mind, but look at it, is when I see a young black girl walking down the street with a stroller, with a child, walking and a child in that stroller, I have stopped several times. And what, you know, is I got, I because I can tell, it's by looking. That bothers me bad. That's one thing that really bothers me a lot. I have three daughters, and I just could not see one of my daughters or any daughter. But where is the father? The young man with the gun in the class, where is the man in his life? Where is there a man in his life? Somebody that kid can trust and learn from. And that's there's plenty of us out there. What keeps us from stepping forward? I'll just be simple. It's got to be fear or something. You got to be afraid of something to keep you from stepping forward when you know you should. And I'll stop.
Well, as I've said before, we have our work cut out for us. And, you know, I'm a strong believer in nothing but you.
Tomorrow, tomorrow,
still on the air?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. Well, it looks like there's some difficulty with that thought there for a moment. But again, what we have been doing is an eye opener. And with an eye opener, again, you're going to have opposition. The opposition does not want eyes open. They would rather for them to stay closed.
And so if you're just listening in on the Wise Words of One Gone Show, I had technical difficulties. I was talking to Blog Talk Radio when the brothers were talking about people being charged to listen. I had about 10 callers call from the Metro PCS to be able to talk on this show, and because their network will not allow them to listen from the new number that they gave us. We had a 347-205-9722 for 8 years, and then they switched the number to 515-605-9861, which was coming out of Iowa. And so when it changed to that format, it didn't do it at first, but then it started. Let me get everybody off of here right quick. So what has happened is that they switched the network. You know, whenever you got some people calling and where people think they can make money off of you, that's what they do, right? And so if you have T-Mobile and any other network, they're allowing that network to go through. Brother Larry called me, Thurman, Brother LP. Brothers have called me to tell me that they're asked to be charged to listen to the show now. And so I've just talked to the CEO of, which is his name is Alan, and Alan said it's nothing to do with Blog Talk Radio. It is to do with the network that we are using as our service. So Metro is one of the ones that say, okay, if you call in this show, we want you to pay an extra $10 to get so many hours to call that very number, right? And so we want to go back to our original number, which was a 347-205-9722, which was in New York, where Metro would be free to use. And so all the chaos that we go through in our life is because we are doing something right. We are doing something right. And whenever you're doing something right, you're going to find adversity, right? It's on how you handle adversity. So a lot of people want to throw their hands up, you know, and feel some type of way. But what you have to look at is that you're doing something good. So if something bad happens while you're doing something good, just take it as, you know, the forces to be don't want what you saying to hit the airwaves, right? And so for our Metro callers, which I am, I'm going to switch over to T-Mobile, who is the parent of Metro. They bought Metro out. And so I'll be switching. I went over there yesterday, but I had ran out of time. I got a lot to do, and so I didn't be able to switch my plan over, right, because I have four lines on the plan as well. So just trying to make a headway with everybody and let them know that, man, a lot of our listeners probably are trying to call in and they're not able to call in. So I'm here to speak to that. They're trying to charge you. If you have a Metro, call 515-605-9861. You'll see what they'll say. So if you're not able to call in, go to the link. Go to the link, blogtalkradio.com. And look for Wise Words with One Gone Show, and you can hear our show as it is going in live time, right? You might not can speak out, but you'll be able to listen in live time, right? With that being said, I know we've had a lot of disturbance today, but that's how radio is. You know, We like to get it as close to perfect as we can, but, you know, we live a normal life, and as long as we get the message out, that's what is the main focus here, is getting the message out. Like I said, we might have a few distractions. Everybody has life going on. We don't get paid to do this, and so it's just the information that we put out on the airways is what we're trying to do. Now, we have some people from Uganda. I know that's probably Sid Singleton that is listening over in Uganda. There's a few listeners that's listening from Canada, so I got to give you all a shout-out. I was looking at the coverage in the area that we're covering and how many people are listening. It's like 1.8 listening in Uganda, 1.5 in Canada, and then 94.8 listeners are from the United States. So we want to thank our listeners worldwide. With that being said, I'm going to go to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell, Brother Mark. Brother Mark.
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Okay. So we're going to cut the show short today. I'm trying to get everything fixed in. So, Mark, you want to give some final remarks today?
Yes, I will. As all our listeners have known, we talk about some very good topics, and I think they are a major priority. And I want to encourage all listeners to continue to listen in. And as soon as you're able to speak or give some input, we would appreciate it. We applaud you for listening in and be encouraged. I digress.
Yeah. Girl, you're